Good afternoon, it is, and you're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, and I just finished the on-the-air show with Scott. Scott and I had a good show today. We were one of the fun parts about doing that show is I disagree with Scott on some things, and he disagrees with me on other things, and we seem to be allowed to tell each other that we disagree with each other, which is unfortunately not the truth of our society right now. And hopefully Scott and I can change this world. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it a little bit more interesting and also more congenial, more making it more able to get along with each other, because that's what we've got to do to make this world right. One of the things that I'm going to read today, well, the only thing I'm going to read today, and I've been doing this over the last 4 or 5 weeks, is reading speeches from famous, but some of them not so famous, people throughout our history that talk about the social unrest and the social state of our United States. And let's see, I've had Sojourner Truth, who was an abolitionist and also a former slave who obviously was against slavery. I've done a speech, the Gettysburg Address I've done. That was Abraham Lincoln talking about hallowing the ground where thousands and thousands of Americans had died. Let's see, who else? Frederick Douglass, I did one of his speeches. Anyway, a lot of different speeches. Today, I'm going to read the speech that Charlie Chapman, Charlie Chaplin's speech at the very end of a movie that he produced, and the movie was produced in 1940, but the speech at the end, some people say, didn't have continuity with the movie. I've watched the movie and I've listened to the speech at the end, and I guess I understand that, but the speech at the end was basically written by Chaplin. He spent months drafting and rewriting the speech for the end of the film. It calls for peace, and it calls criticizes the speech. It criticizes the language that Americans are using and Germans are using. People who are kind of siding with Hitler at the time. And Chaplin's speech, and it's spoken by, I think the character is called Hinkle, and he looks like, well, you look at Charlie Chaplin, who had the little mustache before Hitler had the little mustache, but Chaplin's speech is directly pointed at Hitler and the evilness that may be coming to the world at the time. Now, they really didn't know a lot of the stuff that was going on. In 1940, Americans didn't know directly about Auschwitz and Dachau and all the places where the Nazis were killing our Jewish brother and sister. This speech is the speech that Hinkle gives at the end of the show, I think it wraps the show up, but a lot of people thought it was superfluous. Superfluous to the show. I'll read it to you, and I'll let you make your own thoughts up on that. Chaplin, before he, when he was asked about this speech, he did say, "One doesn't have to be a Jew to be anti-Nazi. All one has to be is a normal, decent human being." And a lot of people have pointed out that this speech directly correlate with what's going on right now in the United States. I'm sure there are people that will disagree with that, and that's fine. That's kind of what Scott and I were talking about today during our on-the-air show, how different people disagree. That really is what the United States of America is about, being able to disagree with each other, but not be disagreeable. Unfortunately, we've gotten a situation right now where certain people don't think you should be allowed to disagree with them. And if you do disagree with them, they no longer are courteous. They become much more disagreeable. And that's kind of where much of the criticism and much of the statement, many of the statements that say, this speech by Chaplin was written with today in mind, but in fact it wasn't. It was written back in 39 and 40. He spent weeks, if not months, concocting this speech. And what it is, it's if you watch the movie, this little character has been, he's a... people have mistaken him for the dictator of the country, and therefore he has been placed in that position of being the dictator of this country. And this is what he has to say. "I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone, if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost that way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in with machinery that gives abundance and has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and we feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for our goodness of men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators will die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people, and so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourself to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you through like cattle, use you as a cannon fodder. Don't give yourself to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machineless. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke, it is written, "The kingdom of God is within man. Not one man, nor a group of men, but all men. In you, you, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then, in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslaved the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with natural barriers, to do away with greed, to do away with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead us, all men, to happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite." That was the final speech in the movie The Great Dictator. It was written by Charlie Chaplin in 1940. And I'm certain that you can say, if you listen, I couldn't play it here on the air. It's against the law for me to pirate that and put that on the air. That's why I had to read it. I hope I read it with some intensity, because Charlie Chaplin reads it so well. Well, he's not reading it. He's acting it. But you need to see that. Go to YouTube and pull up The Great Dictator's final speech and listen to the way he does it. And that's a man who's living in a time where the world is kind of falling apart. And many of us, and this show is called The Progressive Life, and many of us progressives, and by the way, that's not a dirty word, many of us progressives believe we're kind of falling apart in the United States right now. We have lost our sense of honor. We've lost our sense of honesty, empathy. It's really hard to find the goodness of the American people right now. We use our religion as a battering ram to show people how good you are. Well, if you don't really do what you preach, you're really not on the good side of that. As many of you know, my father was a Methodist minister, and I've studied the Bible all my life. I am not a religious person. I refer to myself as an agnostic, but a lot of people would refer to me as atheistic. But I believe, I like to think of myself as an atheistic Christian. I follow the teachings of Christ as set forth in the New Testament. The Old Testament is ramblings and choices by men of the 200 to 400 after Christ, put together in the canon by people in the Catholic Church, which I'm not so certain was straightforward to begin with at that time. I wish you well, and I believe that people that have good, strong faith in their religion are good, strong people. And I want you to continue to believe that way. I'm not anywhere going to try to convince somebody not to be religious. I love my friends who are religious. Many of my favorite people, many of them were ministers, many of my other favorite people have devout beliefs, including, you know, the current man running for the Democratic presidency, the Democrat who's running for presidency, Joe Biden, is a very devout Catholic, he proves it in word and deed, and that's why I particularly like him. You may not. That's fine. That's your choice. But make sure you know what you're talking about or know what you're thinking about. I'm real tired of talking about it. I'm never going to try to change somebody's opinion because at this point, all the talking points in the world are in your head, and it's really hard on both sides to say, well, I don't like that person because he's this, or I don't like that woman because she's this. You've already got those things made up in your mind. I'm not going to try to change them. I would hope that you think through things before you mail in your ballot. And it looks like a lot of people are going to be mailing in their ballots this time. That is, if our president doesn't continue to try to diminish our voter returns by closing down having his sycophants close down the post office. And I know that's a little harsh, but I can see no other explanation for why we are trying so hard to make it difficult to get our mail around. I hope if you have anything to say about this, you're more than welcome to call in 740-383-9944. Let me give you that again just in case you want to call in and call me a dirty word. Or no, don't do that. Scott would have a fit. He'd have to come back and he'd have to bleep it out and stuff. the number again, 740-383-9944, and you're welcome to call in and give me your opinion. I've got lots of trivia questions still, by the way, and we will talk about that. Tomorrow we're going to have Fred Malone on from the Marion Historical Society. Fred's going to tell us new stuff that we don't know. I'm not even preparing for him. That man knows more about this area than you can imagine, and he can roll. You turn him on and he rolls. I love listening to him. I like asking him questions, and please feel free to call in during that show as well, 740-383-9944, and ask him some questions. Maybe you can help the Humane Society. Yes, maybe you can help them as well. They can use some help. If you have a little bit of extra cash, no problem with me if you send it to them. But the Marion Historical Society is where Fred spends a lot of his time. All right, I've done enough soapbox standing. I hope you enjoyed listening to the two nights of the Democratic National Party convention. I didn't listen much last night. I was watching my Cubs play. I listened to off and on to different speeches, but not very much. My wife is going to give me the entire synopsis of the thing when I get home after work today. And I'm also going to watch several talking heads, so I know exactly what it went on last night. I did watch the entire first night, and I was totally impressed with the way it was run. I felt that they ran it. There were a few glitches. They came to Senator Clyburn about 5 seconds before he was ready, or 5 seconds before the director was ready. Little glitches like that. Those things happen. If they don't happen, then you're watching purely canned stuff. I don't mind canned. A lot of the two conventions are going to be canned because it's so much easier for a director to sit there and say, camera one, pull up roll 12, or than to have them cue somebody in and hope they can read the teleprompter and stuff like that. So I like the fact that we have a kind of a canned convention. and I'm sure the Republican will be too. I'm going to watch that one as much as I watch the Democratic one, because I like to know what both sides feel about things. I would like to hear some sort of policy statement from the on the Republican side, and that's what I'll be waiting for. Don't know if we'll hear it, but I hope we can. We're getting a lot of policy stuff from the Democratic Party. You may disagree with some of it. That's fine. That's what politics is all about. Anyway, let's go on to a little trivia so we can have a smile on our face when you send me off to go to the grocery. You know, Wednesday's my grocery day. I've got a list in my pocket. My wife makes this list up so that I can go buy all sorts of stuff. You know, it's interesting, though. We've both gained a little weight because we kind of eat what we can get that is for two people. Whereas if for some reason or other, it just seems to be the thing that we're doing. We're just eating as opposed to thinking. I hope you're not gaining weight like we are. I think I've gained at least 3 or 4 pounds, and I'd rather have lost 3 or 4 pounds, but that's not what happened. Let's see, what are other things that are happening because of the COVID? Well, obviously, we're all learning how to stay at home. I do a lot. I walk. I exercise about 5 days a week. 3 days a week, I walk 2.25 miles or something like that. And 2 days a week, one day I mow the front yard and the other day I mow the backyard. And then the front yard takes about the same amount of time as the backyard, and both of them take about 45 minutes to an hour, which is about how long I walk. So I'm getting my exercise, but it doesn't help my weight. What's the word there? What's the story? All right. Well, let's go on. And if you want to answer any of these trivia questions, you're more than welcome to call in. We got about 20 minutes, 22, 21 minutes. And if we come across something that you know the answer to, we'll answer the phone, and we give free attaboys or attagirls, depending on whether it's a boy or a girl. Sometimes I make a mistake, and if I ever call you a boy and you're a girl, I am really sorry, and vice versa. It happens. These questions come from this book that I got 250 really good trivia questions out of, and I'm going to read them to you. Some of them I will give you the answer right away, and if I do, obviously there's no need to call in. But some of them I'll give you a couple, 3 minutes, and I'll let you know that I'm going to give you a little time to answer. And on those, if you want to call in, 740-383-9944. Hey, by the way, tomorrow also, after we have Fred Malone on, in the hour after lunchtime, while my stomach is growling, we're going to have the Swap Shop on. And we've been going up and down on Swap Shop. 1 week we'll have 5 people, and the next week we'll have nobody. And then we'll have 4 people, and then we'll have 1 person. You know, it's been bouncing around, and that's fine. I understand that during this virus, people are not quite as willing to meet up with other people, especially if they have to go face to face. If you are going to sell something on Swap Shop, my recommendation is that you give the phone number. The person calls you up. You tell them where you live and how much you want. Once you agree with it, that person shows up at your front door, and you can put it outside, and they can leave an envelope with the agreed upon money on your porch, and that way you never have to get close to each other. Or you can put it out on the porch and stand there, wait for them, and you know, when they show up, make sure you stay 6 feet away and wear a mask. It's as easy as that. It's not going to hurt you to wear a mask. Come on. All right, trivia question number one. What country produced the most strawberries in 2016? Good question. My son lives out in Ojai, California, and when we travel out that way, we go through, depending on the time of the year, we go through some pretty sweet-smelling fields of strawberries. A lot of fields full of lettuce and celery. Oh, and the celery really smells strong. And I suppose there are lots of different things that we go through that we don't know what we're smelling. But anyway, what country produced the most strawberries in 2016? I'm going to give you the answer right off the bat here. China. China gave us the most strawberries in 2016. I wonder if that's still holding true. That would be a good question to find out if that holds in 2020 after we've gone through what we've gone through the last 3.5 years. All right. Traditional Wimbledon colors are green and what? Green and what? And I've been told, I once did a media guide. I think it was for DePaul. It might have been for Ohio University. But I did a media guide, and I used this color scheme on the media guide, and I think I won second place nationally for the best media guide. But the traditional colors for Wimbledon, green and purple. Green and purple. Green is very complementary to purple, or vice versa, from what I had been told when I was designing that book. That's kind of an interesting story. And I understand that there aren't too many colleges, and this year there won't be very many at all, but there aren't too many colleges that produce what they call media guides anymore. They put it online and for the media so that they can go directly online and find out statistics from players, the history of the school, all the players' names and numbers, heights and weight, and that sort of thing. That used the, and there are still schools that do it, but it used to be a school like UCLA or a school like Florida would have a football media guide that was 150 pages long. It was huge. Mine were usually right around 100. It took several weeks, if not months, to put one together. But they don't do that as much anymore. All right. On the television show, How I Met Your Mother, what is Lily's occupation? I don't think I ever watched How I Met Your Mother. Now, I did know the show. I mean, I knew about it, but I didn't know the leading character was Lily. Or that, I'm not sure if she was the leading character, but she was one of the characters, and they want to know what Lily's occupation was. I'm guessing that is the mother. Her occupation was kindergarten teacher. All right. All right, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes on this next question. It's one of my favorite artists of all times, Weird Dude. I mean, a weird dude. Which art movement is Salvador Dali associated with? I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes on that one. And the number is 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. What art movement is Salvador Dali associated with? And it's not weirdness, but he was weirdness personified. We'll give you a couple of minutes to answer that, and we'll go on here. At 12:45, you're listening to WWGH FM 107.1 on the FM dial. And we hope you enjoyed listening this morning. I hope I haven't offended you too badly in my reading of Charlie Chaplin's The Dictator final speech. Please go to YouTube and pull that up, the final speech of The Dictator, and listen to the way Charlie Chaplin reads that. Now, a lot of people said he shouldn't have added that to the show. I think you can actually pull up the entire movie called The Dictator. But the final speech is just intense, especially with things that are going on right now in our government. Where did rap superstar Eminem grow up? All right. Where did rap superstar Eminem grow up? Have you listened to Eminem? I like some of his stuff. Other stuff I'm not a big fan of, but I probably like half. Anyway, he's from Detroit. I like Detroit. When I was going there, we used to do, the Mid-American Conference had basketball tournaments there two or three times. And I really liked Detroit. We had a lot of people that were afraid to go to Detroit. I never found that a problem. But then I used to walk through Cabrini Green's area in Chicago, and it didn't bother me. I did have one of my basketball players, Terry Cummings, tell me, "Mr. Coble, somebody's going to shoot you." And somebody had shot at him in Cabrini Green. That's where he lived for a brief time. I think Mayor Byrne lived there for a while to prove that it was safe for older white women to live in. Naturally, it was safe for her. She had probably 20 cops around. We had the question that I asked earlier, which art movement is Salvador Dali associated with? No, it's not weirdness. I'll give you one more minute to answer that if you're interested. All right. This is kind of a sad sad question. In what city did Princess Diana suffer her fatal car crash? Remember that? Under that tunnel? Oh, it was a horrific crash. She was being apparently chased by photographers and stuff like that, and they were trying to get away from her or something. Somehow or other, hit an abutment or something in that car tunnel. It was in Paris, France. If you've ever been to Paris, France, you will never forget it. I loved Paris, France. We played when we were touring Europe with the folk trio I sang with. We played in France. Now things were going on worldwide that the French didn't like us at the time, so they wouldn't let us play at the casinos where we were booked in, or the places. But we went out on the street and played on the street. That was great fun. I mean, really great fun. People, dozens of people would gather around us, and we didn't put a hat out or anything, but occasionally somebody would hand us a franc or two, you know. And we had great fun there. We played right across the river from Notre Dame. And it was terrible to watch when Notre Dame was burning, thinking we were standing right there playing, and people loved it, and we had a great time. Anyway, if you ever get to Paris, spend a lot of time walking around. The people, contrary to what some people say, the people are very friendly. They may not speak to you because they don't speak English. They speak French. And if you don't speak French, they're not going to be able to talk with you. But they are pleasant. They are a handsome people. I mean, that they seem to take care of themselves well. In Paris, everything seems to be, if not fashionable, at least well coiffed. Yeah, all right. That's probably a word that Scott's going to tell me I'm mispronouncing. All right. What grows from an acorn? You know what grows from an acorn? I'll give you 3 minutes to answer this one. Let's go back and answer that first question. Which art movement is Salvador Dali associated with? It's called Surrealism. And he's the guy that did the picture of the clocks melting over the edge of a wall and stuff like that. It was weird stuff. That's why I said, no, it's not weirdism, but Surrealism is the art movement that he kind of headed up. I'll give you still a couple minutes to let me know what grows from an acorn. A tiny acorn grows into what? All right, let's ask another question here. We got about 8 minutes, and we'll keep asking some questions. What prison film starring Tim Robbins was based on a story by Stephen King? And now, I didn't know this until I read this, but it's a film, and it starred Tim Robbins, and it was based on a story by Stephen King. You ready? The Shawshank Redemption. I had no idea that that was by Stephen King. That makes it a little bit more interesting. I might have to pull that up on my streaming and stream that one more time. That was a kind of a disturbing show, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, oh, we've got a phone call here. Let's go to the phone. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hey, Glenn, I think from an acorn, they got an oak tree.
You got an oak tree! And you know what that does for you? That gives you an attaboy.
Attaboy, huh?
Yeah! You can't spend it anywhere, but you can tell all your friends that you won an attaboy this morning on radio.
I'm smart today.
You are a smart one. Hey, thanks a lot. An acorn is grown from an oak tree is grown from an acorn. Thanks for the call. What a nice... what a nice thought. A little tiny acorn turns into a giant oak tree. My next door neighbor has an oak tree in her front yard. And when we moved here in 05, I said to my wife, I pointed out to my wife that several of the acorns were sprouting. And so I took one. And I put it in a strategic place in my backyard, and I thought, this will take 50 years. Not so. It's probably about 30 feet tall now. And I love it because it gives me shade where I can go and have my once a week beer out, usually on Tuesday or Wednesday. I've already had mine yesterday. I sit out there and I watch the birds and I listen to the birds. I got lots of cardinals and lots of blue jays in our neighborhood this year. And take my doggie out there and she tells me what I should do for the next day's show. And yesterday we had my beer and really enjoyed the time out there. All right. But he was right. An acorn grows into an oak tree. Very good. Attaboy. All right. All right. This is a good question. Wait a minute. Do I still have one question that we asked about that we haven't answered? No, I think we're good. So I'll give you 3 minutes to respond to this. Which type of fruit juice did Dole sell first? And it wasn't guava. All right. Which type of fruit juice did Dole sell first? And they're very famous for this fruit juice. So I'll give you 3 minutes to answer that one, okay? Which U.S. state was the Garden State as its nickname? Now, that was New Jersey, and I guess they have lots of gardens there. I've only been to the busy part of New Jersey. I haven't been to the, out in the hinterland of New Jersey. I imagine there is a hinterland, but the areas I've gone to in New Jersey were traveling nightmare. There were cars everywhere. I've been in 49 of the 50 states. I've been really lucky, but I have not hit Alaska yet. And we got a caller here. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
I think the first juice that Dole sold was pineapple.
You got it. How'd you know that? Did you look that up?
No.
You just
I told you. I'm smart.
You're smart. Fantastic. An attaboy. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. All right. That's right. Dole, and that really is one of the juices that they're most famous for, is their pineapple juice, and it's really good. It really is good. I love pineapple juice. Now, I didn't used to love pineapple juice, but then my wife's parents moved to Lake Grassy, I think, down about 5 miles out of Sebring, on the south side of Sebring. Right next to the lake, Lake Grassy, there's a pineapple stand, you know, where and you can see the pineapples that they're growing, and they make pineapple juice there. Oh my goodness, you haven't lived until you had fresh pineapple juice. They chill it, but it's brand fresh. Matter of fact, they show you them squeezing it, and then they chill it, and you can buy a cup of fresh pineapple juice for a buck or whatever it is. And that is heaven. It truly is heaven. But Dole, he's correct. Dole was the very first place to sell pineapple juice. All right, I only have a couple minutes left to go, so I'm not going to open the phones up for any more. We can only give out two attaboys a day. I think that's in the rules. No. What is the main ingredient in falafel? Falafel. Do you know what the main ingredients in falafel is? It's not one of my favorite foods. The main ingredients is chickpea. My son, he is quite a gastronomy. He likes to go to lots of restaurants, okay? And they took us to a place that sells a lot of Middle Eastern food. That was probably my least favorite place that we've ever gone. I am not a big fan of Middle Eastern food. But they had falafel. Sorry, I had to hit the microphone because I was having a little cough. I'm not even going to bring this up because, let me bring it up. I'll just go right through it. What currency is used in South Africa? The Rand, R-A-N-D. I didn't know that. Port-au-Prince is the capital of which country? Now, I watched Mr. Port-au-Prince pitch against the Cubs last night. That's right. That was his name. Which country is it the capital of? It's the capital of Haiti. All right. We've only got a few seconds, so thanks for listening in, and hope you'll tune in tomorrow on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green telling the funniest talk show story of all time about guest starring on Fantasy Island.
I was late.
Yes.
And as I always am for everything I do. And they were waiting for me. And he came up to me. He said, I want to tell you something. Did you know you made us wait? You know, I said, well, I'm very sorry. And I didn't realize my call was for later and everything. Then I sat down and his wife came up to me. And she says to me, Shecky, I'm everybody's wife. And they had just gotten married, by the way. And she's a beautiful girl. And she said to me, would you like a cup of coffee? I said, I would love it. Thank